Over the past few years, critics on the cultural right have been going after academic theories described as postmodernism. They accuse the postmodernists of moral relativism and encouraging the idea that there are no standards of right or wrong. But our linguist, Jeff Nunberg, has been listening to what postmodernists say about grammar, and he thinks the critics have got postmodernism dead wrong.
Like a lot of my favorite stories, this one begins with a pronoun. Not long ago, there was an article in the Chronicle of Higher Education that quoted Harvard President Lawrence Summers in an interview saying, "I regret any faculty member leaving a conversation feeling they are not respected." That sentence was tailor-made to rile the purists, particularly given the context and the speaker. And in fact, a few weeks later, the Chronicle ran a long diatribe from a professor of English who took exception to Summers' grammar. According to the writer, Summers should have said, "I regret any faculty members leaving," not "any faculty member leaving." And the antecedent "any faculty member" required the pronouns "he or she," not "they." That "he or she" business is a construction that modern academics are particularly attached to, since it enables them to sound politically correct and pedantic in the same breath. The professor went on to chide President Summers for contributing to the general decline of precision in language. All the more distressing when Summers has presented himself as a defender of scholarly rigor. Indeed, he said, "The woeful state of the language is evident to anyone who listens to National Public Radio for 15 minutes or reads a single section of the New York Times. That's what happens when students are taught that writing is a form of pure self-expression, to the point where composition teachers have a horror of acting as language police and grammar itself is regarded as a form of reactionary tyranny." The response went on in that vein for a full 1,800 words and concluded with an insistence that all college composition courses should henceforth teach grammar and rhetoric and nothing else. In short, it was an utterly familiar harangue, distinguished only by the speciousness of the occasion for it. That business about having to use the possessive "any members leaving" instead of "any member leaving" is one of those mindless superstitions that's been passed on to generations of schoolchildren at the end of Sister Petra's ruler. If you really believed it was incorrect, in fact, you'd have to take a red pencil to Shakespeare, Milton, Jane Austen, and most of the other great figures of English literature. And as for the plural pronoun "they," bear in mind that Summers' words were quoted from a spoken interview, and that everybody uses "they" this way in their informal speech. The only thing that made this disquisition notable was that its author was the redoubtable Stanley Fish, the literary theorist and self-styled champion of postmodern thought. In fact, Fish's piece in the Chronicle of Higher Education appeared at about the same time as another extended public pronouncement of his, this one in the July issue of Harper's Magazine, where Fish offered a rejoinder to the attacks on postmodernism that come from the cultural right. That anti-postmodernist jihad has been waged with particular ferocity since 9/11, as the right invokes the September attacks in an effort to score a decisive victory in the culture wars. The first salvo was fired just 10 days after the attacks by Edward Rothstein, the one-minute intellectual who's resident in the New York Times culture pages. According to Rothstein, the postmodernists would be unable to condemn the attacks in an unqualified way since they reject universal values and ideals. In fact, he said, postmodernism leads to establishing a moral symmetry between the terrorist and his opponent. And the U.S. News and World Report commentator John Leo warned that our campus cultures have been captured by the postmodern conviction that there are no truths or moral norms worth defending. The result of that, Leo says, is an anything-goes morality and a drumbeat of rule-breaking that drowns out traditional values. Now, you don't have to be a devotee of academic fashion to see that this is all meretricious claptrap. And in his Harper's article, Fish rightly points out that the postmodernism that the conservatives are attacking is a grotesque caricature of what he and others have actually said. In fact, postmodernist has become a kind of boogeyman word that conservatives use in something like the way that the church used to talk about Masons. But more to the point, the attacks on postmodernism are bizarre on the face of things. I'll grant you that there's a lot of academic theorizing that's variously flaky or pretentious, though neither flakiness nor pretension is a particularly new development in American academic discourse. But it takes a singularly loopy turn of mind to see any of this as a social menace. Anybody who seriously believes that the American moral order is threatened by our literature professors should get back on their meds immediately. It isn't simply that the enterprises of philosophy and literary study have always been inconsequential in American life, and even in the American Academy. More to the point, there's no group more deeply invested in traditional standards and cultural hierarchy than academic humanists are, whatever theory they drive to work. In fact, when you read Fish's linguistic screed in the Chronicle of Higher Education, it's patently clear just how absurd the whole campaign against postmodernism has been. No norms worth defending, drumbeats of rule-breaking, one standard is as good as another. When it comes to the crunch, Fish has ideas about standards that are every bit as conventional and as unconsidered as anything the cultural right could wish for. And most of his colleagues would readily endorse those grammatical values, even if they might not put the argument quite so splenetically. The future of the Republic is in safe hands.
Jeff Nunberg is a researcher at Stanford's Center for the Study of Language and Information and the author of the book, The Way We Talk Now.